You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Have a seat. I wasn't sure if that one split moment we were allowed to kiss on the lips, but that's okay. I reckon the sign of a good Sunday is when your voice gets wrecked. And hello. I reckon the sign of a good Sunday is when your voice gets wrecked. Listen, worshippers aren't silent, they're really, really loud. And listen, the Holy Spirit in you wants to be loud tonight. He doesn't want you to be quiet. Now, I can preach to a silent room. I will give it all I've got, give it all my faith. But I want to tell you something and remind you yet again. I was listening to Pastor Caleb in the giving message. We were a little subdued. Yeah. So we're going to turn up the volume a little bit, okay? Okay, shout softly, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that sounded pathetic. Okay, just turn the volume up a bit. Hallelujah. A bit more. Hallelujah. And one more. You got it. Okay, what's not to love about this t-shirt? Humanity, love to life. It was a gift from, I think Pastor Fred initiated it, and Paris had it made up. And I love it. It's not going to be an example or a testimony. It's just, I like it. But what meant more to me, in many ways, the gift of the conference that Pastor Fred delivered to us as a church. And this young man has worked phenomenally hard. There's been blood, sweat, a lot of sweat, tears, and a lot of joy. We want to thank you, Fred. Your parents, your sister, and this church family are proud of you and want to honor you. So tonight, we honor Fred. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. In my 28 minutes and 1 second that I have got left, I am going to motor. But that's okay. All right. There are things we've started this new series today called It Runs in the Family. Why is that important? Because what walks in the fathers runs in the children. There are things in God that I want to run in my children. There should be. We've got pregnancies happening all over the place in this house, and babies and new people being added and so on. And everyone wants to be a parent, and that's amazing. But you better want the right things for your children. And more than want the right things for your children, you better chase after the right things for your children. Because if you don't plan now and start running after them before you're pregnant, you're not going to have enough time when they come along. That's not true. But you know the point I am making? So family units are the building blocks of a healthy church. And that's why we are preaching on this. If we have healthy families in this church, we will have the foundation and the basis for a really seriously healthy boxer-punching church that punches above its weight in the community and around the world. And that is what God has got for us as a church. It was an amazing word that Pastor Kimmy preached this morning. We honor you for that. Why mothers matter and our messages interlink. So I have a joke for you. It's not racist. Now, every time you say it's not racist, there's like an intake of breath and big rolly eyes. I got it off a Jewish website that tells jokes about themselves, the most popular jokes that Jews tell about themselves. Amen. I know everyone's still a... I love Marco. He makes me feel like I could just go run with it now. Look, it's not racist, I'll tell you why. You may not have noticed the Bible is not based on Anglo-Saxon European history, but Jewish history. Your father is Abraham. If you're a believer, that makes Judaism part of your family line. So thank you and shalom. Three Jewish mothers are sitting on a bench arguing over which son loves her the most. The first one says, "You know, my son sends me flowers every Sabbath." "You call that love?" says the second mother. "My son calls me every day." "That's nothing," says the third woman. "My son's in psychotherapy 5 days a week, and all he talks about is me." Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I meant that. Sorry, that wasn't the run-on for the joke. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. So, there are few holidays that succeed in disappointing many mothers and striking terror into the hearts of fathers. Every year we do it to ourselves. This holiday, it used to serve as just a holiday to honour mothers. It was started by a woman called Anna Jarvis. The first Mother's Day event was in 1908. She wanted to celebrate her mother who had nursed soldiers in the Civil War. So she started a church service, simple church service in Virginia. So Jarvis then lobbied for it to become a national holiday. And in 6 years, it became a national holiday. It was declared a national holiday across the U.S., Another 6 years after that, in 1920, she was so disgusted by the way it had been commercialized by florists and card companies that she spent the rest of her life trying to get Mother's Day banned. Big thank you, Alice. Now, considering air travel was in its infancy back then, Mother's Day was more infectious than COVID and far more difficult to rid the world of. Most mothers take the goodwill and the handmade gifts and sometimes inedible food offerings with a cheerful inner resignation. Mothers really, though, want to be recognised for their work as a mother, for their joy as a mother, their pain as a mother. They want to be recognised, acknowledged and honoured in genuine and consistent ways. It's not only reasonable to want that, it's biblical. And very much kingdom culture. You know, I was in Big W picking up a few things on the Saturday before Mother's Day, as you do, fathers. And there was this family there, and they were all like, it's a big family, and they were, does anyone know what she likes? And does anyone know her size? And it's kind of funny, yet it's tinged with sadness that this family has suddenly plunged into the mysterious world of gift giving. And they're trying to understand and focus on this pivotal person in their lives, a person who holds their lives together in many ways, a person who's central to their world, living out of the spotlight, who works and shapes and plans and loves and creates a framework for family life. A mum can very much be taken for granted. And yet the culture of the kingdom is this: honour your father and mother. And tonight, this message title is simple, which is why mothers matter. So don't switch off because of the simplicity of it. Anybody here ever lost their car keys? Yeah. These are not yours, they're mine. It's a small thing, but a key unlocks things. Think about it. You've got a massive, great house, but you can't get in because you've lost this sucker. When you lose honour, you lose a house. You lose a room. You lose the largeness of God. Keys are really important. Why mothers matter is a key that unlocks blessing over your life. It's important for us to understand the laws of completion and continuation. Sounds very technical for a Sunday night. Bear with me, you have the brain power and the capacity to understand this, I assure you. Understand the laws of completion and continuation as shown in the Bible. I will run you through it really quickly and very simply. There were things that happened in the Old Testament that stayed in the Old Testament. Animal sacrifice, multiple marriages, food laws. These things ended at the cross. So now you can eat prawns, but you only get one wife to peel them. Thank you, Marco. I knew that would drop eventually. It was a good line to write, and I'm proud of it. There were things that made it through the cross, yet were changed by the cross. There are things that were significant in the Old Testament, were underlined and spoken about and emphasized by Jesus that made it through the cross to this day, and their importance is not diminished, but emphasized by Jesus. God said, honor your mother, Old Testament. Jesus said, honor your mother, pre-cross. Paul said, honor your mother, post-cross. Do you need any more authority than that to realize God wasn't messing around when he said, honor your mother? It's not a rule, it's not a law, it's not a tick list item. It's about a heart of love. So while my message honors the mums of the house, let's hear it for the mums again. Good for you. So while my message honors the mums of the house, it's really about you and your heart. And an awakening of you to honor beyond a large packet of Cadbury's celebrations once a year, as good as they are. The heart of the Father is, I see you. I don't get put off by you. My love for you isn't easily quenched. I want you in my world. I want relationship with you. And I will wipe out anyone who tries to mess with you. The enemy hates mothers. Amen. Believing or otherwise. Get this. It doesn't say honor your mother if she's a believer. It says honor your mother that it might go well with you and you live a long life. The enemy hates mothers. And we're going to look at that. Believing God, because their nature is that they carry the heart of the Father in heaven. You do not sound convinced. Mothers carry the heart of the Father in heaven. I want you in my world, and I'll mess with anyone who tries it on with you. That's the heart of a mother. Satan hated the first mother because she bears the image of God and she walked with God. Imagine the fear he feels for the believing mum who walks with God, whose heart beats with the rhythm of heaven. I see you. Whose heart says, I see you, I don't get put off by you. My love for you isn't easily quenched. And I'm going to take out anyone who tries to mess with you. A faith-filled mother is a weapon in the hand of God. Happy Mother's Day, devil. We cycle back to honor in a moment. Who was it that put Moses in the river to deliver him? His mother. Who was it that brought Ruth back home to Moab, from Moab, to meet Boaz, the great grandparents of Jesus? Her mother-in-law, who wept in the temple, mistaken for a drunk, desperate for a child. She would call him Samuel and later give him back to the temple to serve there. That's the temple that she'd wept in. His mother, who stayed at the cross and watched the man she birthed bear the weight of the sins of the world, past, present, and future. His mother. A mother's love will do anything to secure safety and love for a child. Yet stand back, watch, and release as her child takes on the big bad world, falls into the arms of another, and embarks on life's adventure. No longer technically necessary, but always there and always ready to be the mum she was born to be and purposed to be. When Moses' mother was in crisis and Pharaoh threatened the lives of the Hebrews' babies, she was wise enough to do what was best for the child. She'd taken the child as far as she could, even if it was against what she really wanted to do. She did it. You know, but let's get real. There's some pretty rubbish mamas in the Bible as well. A nervous laugh over there. In 2 Kings 6, that famous story of Elisha, and he's saying, open the eyes of the servant to see that we're surrounded by the armies of God. In the next few verses, the king is riding out, and he hears a woman. She cries out to him, and she says, my king, have mercy. She said, what's happening? He said, this woman, we agreed to eat our children. Because it was a famine. And we said, we'll eat yours today and mine tomorrow, but she's hidden her son. You go and read it. The Bible is not a comfortable book. Who was it who got Salome to dance for Herod in order to gain favor from him? Her mother. And what did she get Salome to ask for? The head of John the Baptist, because he spoke out against their adulterous relationship. There's some bad mamas in this Bible who said, let's cut the child in half to King Solomon. One of the mothers. Don't mess with mothers. Yeah. There's a saying that says, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. We have all been shaped by our mothers, for better or for worse. And you listening to this might be thinking this Mother's Day is taking a bit of a darker turn. I thought it was about why mothers matter. Well, it absolutely is why mothers matter, because they are shapers of destiny. Before their children take on mentors outside of the family, people they aspire to for their children are exposed to the moments in life of crisis and pain that also draw them, as God intended, closer to the Father. Who starts them off on that road? The mother. So to be a mother is much more than the casual rhetoric of movies. You're cute, I want your baby. The role of mother is huge and lifelong. Isn't it, Hannah? Yes. It is. The role of a mother is huge and lifelong. It's a job for which there's no retirement. And many times no acknowledgement. Oh, he doesn't say thank you, does he, when you've just fed him? He just brings it all up over you. That's the thanks you get. But nevertheless, being a mother is a role the Bible sees and honors. My mum was 18 when she married my dad. He was also 18. He was home from France on special leave just to get married. For me, Dunkirk, the movie, is not entertainment, because this is the world event that was World War II that shaped my parents and their lives and mine. You know, I want to bring honor and not dishonor to my parents, so I'm very careful. But it was not a happy marriage, but it was one that produced five children. The author Charles Dickens, in his novel Great Expectations, talks about Pip, and he says he was one that was brought up by hand. Let's just say my mum was heavy-handed. So four boys under five and a husband who strayed, she used her hand or the wooden spoon to bring some order. I will say this. I'm getting a lot of amens from Marco. What's happening in your family? We're doing fathers next week. You gave my mum sass once and you never did it again. She was 5 foot nothing. We still laugh today about, even in our teens, when we towered over her, how she would go, "You're not too tall for me not to get up there and whack you one." But she also poured in the oil, the wine, the gold into me. I appreciate her more and more every day I live. And now, even 7 years since she died, I still occasionally find myself facing a situation I think I'm going to call my mum about that. It's how it is. She had little money, little in the way of status, little in the way of influence, but she taught me cheerfulness and hope for a better day. And eventually, when she too became a believer, she sang her heart out all day long, church songs. She prayed for her family every day, a list of her family was her prayer list until she passed age 88. Amen. Some of the things your mum puts in you aren't fully awakened until you're 50. You don't realize the legacy that they left you or begin to appreciate what they did until you try to duplicate it. The same with your leaders and mentors. Another amen from Mark. I'm on the amen monitor tonight. Anyway, you don't realize how hard it is to be a parent until you try to be one. Be careful of criticizing something you haven't even started out on yet, let alone finished. So I have a great appreciation for what it is to be a mother. I've also come to realize that days like today are not happy days for everyone. In fact, we can react to the bittersweetness of this day. For some, it remains for them. Sorry, some it reminds them of the mother they've lost, or the mother they couldn't talk to, or the mother who didn't like them, or the mother who verbally, physically, or sexually abused them. This is church. We have to talk about this thing. Everybody didn't have the same kind of mother as you. So before we judge another through the happiness lens of our experience, let's always be mindful. Not everyone had an apron-wearing, cookie-making, blood-knee-wiping, drama-crushing, love-pouring, praying mother that you had. There are women who want to be mothers in their hearts and in their minds here, but their bodies are not cooperating. That's a tough gig on Mother's Day. They have to deal with the fact that the heart has one agenda and the body has another. These mothers pray to deliver babies that other mothers abort. I'm not afraid to talk about these things because we brush this stuff under the carpet, and we need to start getting very angry at a devil who wants to wipe out children because there is a destiny over the children he's trying to wipe out. Mother's Day isn't the same for everybody. Now, the seeds of God's truth being planted in lives here tonight. There are seeds of bitterness and hurt and pain that are being dug up tonight. And we're going to pray about that. I don't want to minimize your pain, but the truth is that there comes a point where God must be enough for you and I. Where Jesus really does take away the sin, the guilt, and the shame of the whole world. There must come a point where the Holy Spirit really is the comforter who will lead me into all truth. That the Savior on the cross, his name really is above all relationship pain. I will never forget you, my people. I have carved you in the palms of my hand. That even if these forget, I will never forget you. A mother may forget her baby, a child in a womb, but I will never, ever forget you. God wants to heal hearts tonight. He wants to heal the hearts of the brokenhearted. There are people in here who are brokenhearted. There are people whose parents ignored them. There are kids who have ignored their parents. Relationships can be restored tonight in Jesus' name. We do not have to go into next week the same. This is what church is about. It's not about speaking scripture. It's not about looking beautiful. It's not about having fantastic graphics. It's not about the worship. It's about your heart. Make it about your heart tonight. Decide that you're going to change your relationship. Decide you're going to change your marriage. Decide you are going to change the way you feel about that person. Because if this isn't the truth that we are running after, we are running after nothing. And we will get nothing because that's what we're chasing after. Church, every Sunday should change our lives significantly. I'm going to talk a bit about the importance of mothers. I'm going to summarize a chunk that I've got there. Basically, when it all is said and done, what I want to say is we need to understand that God has set a principle in the Bible that is family. He has set a truth that is family. It is one man, one woman, and kids are added to that. Now, the reason we emphasize that is because the world is trying to dictate the narrative of what a family will look like. And it's not the truth. It is not the truth. But I want to tell you something. The reason I need to declare it over you, because if you don't start declaring over yourself what we stand for, things will start to change. Things will creep in. Lies will happen. And we will start to accept what is not the truth of God. Do we love everybody? Do we care about two men that have a child? Absolutely. Will we love them? Absolutely. But we will not allow it to dictate the narrative of the kingdom culture that we have created. And it's really important. It is really important because if we do not honor family from the stage, we will start to go, it doesn't really matter if I break up. We have to be a church that goes against the statistic. I'm not satisfied. There are people getting married. I call them kids. I shouldn't call them kids. There's kids getting married this year. You are not destined to be a statistic. You are not. You are destined for health and wholeness in your marriage. And you are destined to bring that health and wholeness to your children. We are not going to put up with 50% divorce rate. And in fact, it's even higher in the church than the world. Why? Because we kid ourselves that we can get away with it. And now I'll smile. children are added into the covenant of marriage. That's why mothers matter. That's why the truth matters. Because if we don't declare the truth, the devil will start to bring in the lies that he wants to foster and grow and sow his seed. But we will be a church that stands up and declares the truth. Amen? Yeah. So we're celebrating mothers. Okay, all about Eve. Genesis 3, verse 20. 3 points and I'm finished. Really quick ones. But if the Holy Spirit says, go for it, I'm going for it. Amen. Genesis 3, verse 20 says, the man, known as Adam, named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. What does that mean? The law of first mention in the Bible means this is a really important scripture. She was the mother of all living. It means in Hebrew, the word M, it means source of life, the gateway. The gateway. You know, and not only are mothers the gateway of birthing, they are the gateway of blessing. We can forget that Adam named his wife after the fall. Read it. After the fall, he named his wife. But the significance of this is that deception and lies led Eve to listen to the serpent in the garden. Yet even in that tragedy that was the fall, God has a plan to redeem Eve's mistake by bringing a deliverer from her womb in that line that would deliver mankind and break the curse that she brought upon the world. That is powerful. You see, the curse that you were under before you were a believer, and you might not be a believer in here tonight, but when you become a believer, that curse is broken and you begin to deliver. You become the one that is delivered, but you want to see deliverance for other people. And we are raising up a generational church from 90 down to zero that want to be a generational church that will see deliverance come to people. And if you're up for it, I'm up for it. And we need to be a church that is up for it, because God has called us to be those people who deliver, not looking to ourselves, sobbing and crying for our own deliverance when Jesus has delivered us, but sobbing and crying for your brother, for your sister, for your mother, for your father, those that need the deliverance of God. Good evening. Did I scare her? Anyway. You know, you may look at your children now and you may be experiencing a range of emotions from blissful perfection to contemplation of manslaughter. The devil hates motherhood. He hates the value put on motherhood. He's mad that believers will raise their children in the ways of God. He's furious that mothers play a key role in raising children in the culture and the ways of the kingdom of God. That's why mothers matter. Mothers matter because they bring children into the world. Children whose eternal destiny is to come back into relationship with the eternal Father. Two times we read in the Bible, once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament, of two kings who tried to wipe out a whole generation of children, of babies from 2 years and under. Once, one was Pharaoh, one was Herod. Neither succeeded. The plans of the enemy will not succeed, because God has destined that you and I, that the mother in here that feel that they can't conceive, we have been promised the seed of God. We've been promised that we will bear children. Even last weekend, we heard, be fruitful and multiply. I believe that is over this church in evangelism and all that stuff. And people coming in, and I believe we are about to go gangbusters in size. And that scares me, but that's not my point tonight. I'm up here with my big shirt on. And the truth is, in the natural, you would-be mums sitting there are destined to be fruitful and to multiply. The devil hates it, and he hates the fulfillment of Scripture. Just what happened after the curse? I'm going to summarize this. In Genesis 3:15, it says, and I will cause hostility, he's talking to the woman, or to the serpent and the woman, I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. I'm excited for the days we're living in, excited for the pregnancies, the babies being born. These children will have to, they must find relationship with Jesus themselves. There is no second generational believers. But the truth is, that scripture about you will strike his heel and he and they will crush your head. What you need to understand about that scripture is what he's saying is, you will cause damage to the heel, but the area that you tried to cause damage in is what is going to come down and crush your head. And I want to tell you something. This week I got angry with the devil because he tried to attack my wife. And he tried to bring fear in my heart and say, you know what, this isn't worth it if this is what it's all about. But I want to tell you something. The area he strikes you in is the area you will rise up in strength and you will defeat the enemy. The area, the devil may strike my heel, but the area you sought to bring a fatal strike in, I'm going to crush him in. You know, where he has tried to strike you in depression, you have to crush his head with worship and with praise. Where he tried to strike you with addiction, you are going to crush his head with dependency on Jesus. Where he tried to strike you with thoughts of suicide, and there's someone in here tonight who has particularly been thinking about suicide this week. But you have to crush his head by living each day for Jesus and rubbing the devil's snotty little nose in your victory by not dying, but by fulfilling the call of God that's on your life. Jesus' mother, Mary, didn't know that the child that she was about to deliver would deliver her. I believe that our children are called to greater service in us, to a greater magnitude in God, to all the good things of God, the things that we might not see, but I'm chasing after them anyway, and I'm still going to see them. They're not going to stop me. But the truth is that our kids will see something maybe that we have never seen. And that is why mothers matter, because they set up their kids for a win.